Fleming. We love Dave Fleming when he joins us every single week, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 Gabe appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Is it the time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Giants getting ready for a series against the Mariners, which should be, I'm not sure if there's going to be more than 10 runs scored in this three-game set, considering both pitching staffs here. They're both teams are pitching very, very well. It's been the lineups that's been an issue here. But, Flip, good morning to you. And I want to start off the conversation this week with this. We just saw the White Sox in town. They're on pace to have one of the worst seasons of baseball history, 31-97. I mean, literally 31 wins as we head into September here. You've called a lot of games, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball. What is the worst team you've seen where you walked out the booth, Flem, or you walked out from your course IC, called a basketball game, where you're like, I don't think I've ever seen a worse team. Are the White Sox the worst team you've ever seen? Because, you know, we've been discussing this. I think there's a story in that where a team is just so bad, you're like, how? Why? What's happening here? What's the worst team you ever called? Or the worst team you ever seen in person?
Yeah, that's a good question. I might have to think about that a little longer. There are a couple Stanford football teams that come right to mind.
When Sasky brought that up, Walt Harris?
There was one Walt Harris team and one Buddy Tevens team. There was a Buddy Tevens team, and look, Buddy was a good man and did a lot for college football, but at Stanford he had some brutal teams where they couldn't get a punt snap, they couldn't hold a kick, they couldn't block me. I mean, they had a couple teams that were really bad. Maybe it's possible I was a little overly emotionally invested in that, so I was overemphasizing how bad it felt like they were. But when you asked that question, the first teams that came to mind were those two teams.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow, Harbaugh turned baseball, that baby around, Spadoni.
He certainly did.
Go ahead.
Baseball's funny because, like, look, the Giants, I've been here now 22 years. So we've had a couple teams that haven't been very good in that time. It's harder to judge from the outside. Like, I look at the White Sox team and I think, man, any team that has Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert and the catcher is kind of a nice young player. And I like the young shortstop. You start to look at them when you're not watching them every day and you think, well, there's some pieces there. Baseball is just harder to judge in that way, I think. And the beauty of baseball, as I mean, I can only imagine what it's been like to call every White Sox game this year, but you do have, like, they walked out of the ballpark the other day on Wednesday, the worst team maybe in history. It's arguable that the White Sox are the worst team ever.
Wow.
And 31 times they have tasted what a win feels like. 31 times, not two or three or like,
right.
So, does that make it a better year or a better sport? No. But a week ago, they beat the Yankees. Then they beat the Astros. They come into San Francisco and they beat Logan Webb and the Giants. Like, hey, it kind of saves you when you're a baseball guy where you have little things that you can still get, you know, still have fun with.
So you go 3-2 against the A's and White Sox combined. The A's obviously not their best season, although they've been playing very well since the All-Star break. The White Sox, as you mentioned, might be the worst team ever. And now you get the Seattle Mariners, who just fired their manager, Scott Servais, and elevated Dan Wilson as their manager. The Mariners are kind of like where the Giants are at now. They've lost a lot more, but they just can't score right now. They had a 10-game lead in this division like a month ago, and then all of a sudden everyone was just, you know, just piling on the Astros, like, oh, they're done. I've been likening the Astros to like the Kansas City Chiefs of last year, where you can count them out if you want, and then before you know it, they're going to be leading your division, they're going to be in the ALCS, and look, Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman will be in the World Series. Like, I have that much respect for the Astros like I do the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Mariners, the wheels have just come off here, so, you know, you face the White Sox, take the series there, you should try to beat this team that's down really bad right now. I don't know how you kind of view the Scott Servais move per se. Like, does that light a fire under the Mariners? Does it like just kind of, you know, pour more water on the season that's been a dumpster fire? Like, how do you feel about this whole series heading up here? Because it feels kind of odd.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that. Like, I've known Scott for a long time. He and the guy who runs this franchise, Jerry DePoto, are very closely aligned. Like, they're good buddies. So it's when I saw the news, I was like, wow, okay, yeah. It's really bad up here. If if they're making that move, because I know Jerry DePoto did not want to do that. Like, there's no part of him that wanted to do that. So will it give them a spark? I don't know. I mean, they're a 500 team. They are very similar to the Giants in terms of how their season has played out. Well, I shouldn't say that because they got off to a better start. But as of right this minute, these two teams look very similar. Now, the Giants have scored more runs than the Mariners. The Giants are a better offensive team by a good bit. But the pitching for Seattle has just been excellent from the very, very start. So they're only separated by a game or so in the standings in different leagues. I don't know how this series is going to go, but I do think it's a pretty safe bet that it'll be a lower scoring series. Firing the manager, like, does that make you hit more? I don't think there's a correlation there, but we'll see if maybe the Mariners play with their hair on fire for a few days.
Yeah, we're talking to Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line. You're right. The Mariners had a 10-game lead in the AOS, a 10-game lead. Now, it wasn't as dramatic as, say, the 93 Giants, not to open up an old wound when they were up 10.5 later on in the season, or the Padres, for crying out loud, when they were up 10 back in 2010 late into the season.
Don't talk about that.
Sorry, Lubman. I won't talk about it ever again. It's one of our favorite teams, but it's all good. But the Mariners, you're right, their offense, and they've got some superstars, some high-profile names. Obviously, they traded for Randy Rosarena from Tampa Bay, but Julio Rodriguez has been MIA. He's dealt with injury issues, but I remember his first game back, Flem, he went 0-for-5 of 5 strikeouts. He can't find anything there, so it feels like the same old song for them, just like the Giants with runners in scoring position. It's just driving us crazy here. I guess it's the first of 3 runs to win a game in this series.
Yeah, I think it's driving them truly insane, because they have a – this Mariners team feels to me like the 2011 Giants. 2011 Giants were maybe the best pitching team that the Giants have ever had, and they could not hit. And Posey got hurt. That was a big reason why. Pablo's performance went off a cliff, and they traded for Beltran, and he got hurt. The Giants, if they had had even just a competent offense that year, the Giants had a chance to win another World Series. That's how good their pitching was. And that's the way the Mariners are feeling.
Yeah.
They just can't get it done on offense, and they have some names. You're right. And I think maybe it's possible that the guy you mentioned, Julio Rodriguez, is the reason the manager got fired. I mean, it's possible that the Mariners are thinking, we have a guy that we signed to a deal for $300 million to be the anchor of our franchise for the next decade, and his performance has cratered, and we need to figure out if there's a reason for that. And we need to do everything we can to get him back to his level. And maybe they somehow felt like the relationship wasn't good or something was off. And because that would be of all the things that have gone wrong for them, that would be the number one priority if I were running their franchise. What the heck is going on with Julio Rodriguez?
Yeah, no, it's been a very, very big disappointing season for him. Thinking of which, the White Sox game that you mentioned, because they have beat the Yankees. They beat them 12-2. They beat the Astros, and then, of course, the Giants Wednesday afternoon. But a lot of the big talking point, I saw Estes down at the studio, Sean Estes, that is, and we all kind of were scratching our head with Logan Webb being pulled. I get it was a tie game, but he was at 93 pitches and cruising. Would you make it a decision? Obviously, you couldn't touch Rodgers there because he pitched in the previous 3 games. But it felt like a must win, and it felt like, boy, could you have sent Logan Webb out there for the 9th inning? What did you think of that move there, Flem?
Well, all I'll say is that Bob had told me before the game that it could be a real short start for Logan. That he wasn't feeling well. He had tweaked something while he was throwing a bullpen that week. Obviously it wasn't major because he went out there and dominated, pitched great. But they were real concerned going into that start that he was even going to be able to go more than like a – they were running him out there to just see what it looked like. They were prepared for a game where Webb basically had to come out almost right away.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
So I do think that it was, and they underplayed that, and it turned out fine. Now Logan's fine, and he's going to make his next start, and I think we're in the clear. But they were nervous about that start, so I don't think you should be too hard on Bob for that.
Got
one, because I think after 93 pitches, that he was already uncomfortable letting Logan go that deep. He was under the weather. He wasn't feeling good. He had given him a lot, and it was time to let somebody else take over.
Did not know that. Wow.
Talking to Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line, and We've been talking about this term with the 49ers, Dave, all offseason with this whole Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams holdout, hold-in saga. The vibe around the team, it's been a little off for 49ers in their training camp. Obviously, you have two all-pro guys like that out. Dre Greenlaw's rehabbing. It's just been an odd vibe for a team that's coming off a Super Bowl loss, and we got the final preseason game in Vegas tonight, where obviously they lost just a few months ago to the Kansas City Chiefs. What's the vibe been around the Giants? You're clearly tapped in. You're very locked into this team inside and out. What would the vibe be if you could pinpoint it for this San Francisco Giants season?
That's a good question. I mean, inside the locker room, on the team, the vibe is very good. This is a team that likes each other, that gets along, that comes to work every day. I don't look around and see anybody who's, you know, underprepared or not doing what they should do, which, you know, most years do you see at least some of that. And so the vibe to me around the team itself has been very good. These guys enjoy being with each other. They like competing together. I don't think this has been a vibe issue. I think it's just purely been a, well, I mean, there are a few things that have gone wrong for the Giants this year, but ultimately, that they have not produced enough offense here in the last month. And that is the thing that is sinking their season. They still have time to get that turned around. But the loss to the White Sox was no more frustrating to me than the first two games of the series. Like, yeah, the first two games of the series drove me crazy because the Giants had every chance to just blow those games open, like one chance after another. And it was like they just refused to do it, and it let the White Sox hang around, and the White Sox almost stole a game or two extra while they were in town because of that. And that's just happening way too often. The Giants, you know, I am an advocate of hitting with runners in scoring position sort of ebbs and flows, and it's not that predictive of what's going to happen in the future, but it's gone on for too long now. And everybody's focused on the batting average, which I get. The other numbers are like shocking. There's no power. There's no on base in these big at bats. It's like the approach has just disintegrated when the Giants have their biggest at bats of each game. And I don't get it. I don't understand, other than to say that it's like the collective pressure has worn everybody down. And, so maybe that's a vibe. I don't know, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. That has really derailed this Giants playoff chase.
And it doesn't get easier, Flem, with the 3 in Seattle this weekend, 3 in Milwaukee. Now you get the Marlins to begin September here, or August 30th, 31st, and then September 1st. And then September, this schedule. Oh, my Lord. Now, you could say if they handle business in September, they've really earned a playoff spot, but 6 against the Diamondbacks, 6 against the Padres, another 3 against the Brewers, a road trip in Baltimore and Kansas City, and then you end the season in St. Louis. I mean, wow, what a schedule to end the season, Flem.
It's really hard. And, you know, that's where you're missing some chances to pile up some extra wins along the way is probably going to cost them. You know, the Giants' playoff chances are not great right now, and a lot of that is because they needed to make up more ground between now and the start of that stretch. Never know what's going to happen. And the Diamondbacks and Padres have been so hot, you know, that it's possible that by the time the Giants actually see them, because no team stays that hot forever. It's possible that things will cool off for those two teams. And you like those head to head matchups against teams you're familiar with. I think that's a good thing. So we'll see how it plays out. You just got to, you know, for the Giants, the four of us have been saying this all year. Like, where's that they got the one hot streak, the 1 2-week period where they went 12-3 or whatever. And that's been it. They just haven't been able to get on any kind of real roll other than that. And that ultimately has been really frustrating. They have enough good players to get hot and stay hot, and they just haven't done it.
All right, Dave, let's get into a happy place. We got college football this weekend. Let's go. What games are you circling on your calendar right now, Dave Fleming, for some college football season? You're going to be on the call again this year for ESPN?
I'll be doing a season for ESPN. My first game is Stanford hosting TCU to start the year.
Next Friday.
Nice.
Next Friday. And then my second game is going to be Cal at Auburn. So I'm going to have a little Bay Area flavor to start the college football season, which is kind of nice.
What do they call it? The Plains down there in Auburn? They call it the Plains?
The Plains.
Yeah, going out to the Plains. Eagle, SEC baby. Country.
That's right. Oh. Hey, no, wait, Dave, who do you like this year? Like, this is going to be such a fascinating year with the expanded college football playoff now. Like, is it going to be Georgia? Like, Bama's got a new head coach. No Saban now. Do we like Lincoln Riley, USC, Oregon? Like, who are you liking this year?
I think in college football these days, if you just go, hey, you know who I like? Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. You're pretty safe.
There you go.
Like, it's one of the problems with college football at the moment. Like, we gotta find a way in this sport to unlock the possibility for championships from teams other than this small group. Oregon's a very talented team. I like the young head coach, although, you know, there are a lot of Oregon fans in the Bay Area, and I'm sure they're really excited for the season. He is a very reckless in-game coach. Reckless might be too negative of a word, but man, he likes to gamble and go for it. It's fun when you're a fan,
but when
the margin is so thin, now maybe his approach will actually work really well in the 12-team playoff era, because you can lose maybe twice if you're a really good team and still get in if you pile up a bunch of big wins. So maybe that's a better strategy for this era. We'll see, but they're a talented team. They're the best team out west, I think, by far.
Yeah, Lanning, the coach out there at Oregon, he's got those SEC ties coming from Georgia.
Going
he's
at
tough.
Dion last year, yeah, remember that after D, that,
yeah,
big
that, was,
win?
That, yeah. That was a hell of a pregame speech there. Speaking of which, Cal Stanford, you got to call those games. Stanford, TCU. Wish I was in town for that because it was a Friday. I thought it was this Friday, but got my schedule mixed up here. What do you think about Cal and Stanford now playing in the ACC, I should say? Because Flynn, even when it comes to basketball, like Cooper Flagg is going to be at Duke. I'm excited for Duke to come to the West Coast. The Miami Hurricanes are going to play Cal in Berkeley. What are your thoughts? Because I know you're a longtime Pac-10, Pac-12 guy. What's your thoughts now with Cal and Stanford officially being in the ACC?
Yeah, for football, is it good? It's not good. It's not good in any way. But for football, it's more palatable. I mean, like, I really, if I were a Stanford fan, like the idea of not going up to Eugene or going down to the Rose Bowl and watching, you know, Stanford, UCLA, it just stinks that all those are gone. Mm-hmm. And there's no redeeming that. Football, though, you can talk yourself into, hey, look, it's a representative schedule. It's only 5 weeks of travel. The kids can handle that. It's not ideal, but it's the other sports that it's untenable and it's not going to last. And there's no way that model can work for college kids if you take their college academics at all seriously for the big group of athletes. So it's a temporary fix. They found a home at least for now. See how it shakes out. Football, though, I can talk myself in as a Stanford fan to, okay, get to see some new programs, maybe go to some new places. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, for both those teams, I'm looking at the schedule and comparing it to last year and thinking, well, you got a chance to win some more games.
Yeah.
Because last year, the Pac-12 was so tough. And the ACC's got a couple good teams, but the Cal and Stanford should be able to pile up some wins this year, even if they're not, you know, as good as they want to be. Ultimately, they should be able to win some games.
So strange. SMU, obviously Stanford and Cal, you know, Clemson's on the schedule, Florida State, Miami, you got Wake Forest, such an odd, even Syracuse. I still haven't gotten accustomed to Syracuse being in the ACC. I miss them in the old Big East. I talk to Willie about it all the time. Like, Syracuse in the ACC, just so strange. But you're right. I think it's only going to last for a couple years. It'll be fun while it lasts. I think we'll get used to it and have some fun with that. But I do see a realignment happening in the foreseeable future with college football. But, hey, the 12-team playoff, that'd be exciting. That'd be something different.
I think
it's
good. It's been a long time coming. If you're going to do what we've done in college football, you might as well have the shame of this whole thing. There's so many things about it that are just horrible. But the Pac-12 got left out of those playoffs for so many years. And the best part about the 12-team playoff is your major conference champions are guaranteed a spot. So that's what I just railed against that for years. Like, the system just was so bad in that way, and they fixed that part of it, and I think that's going to be a really good thing.
Yeah, it took so long. You're so right. I remember back in 93, I was discussing this with somebody the other day when Florida State and Notre Dame, they had played in the regular season, 1-2. Notre Dame wins it, but yet they don't meet in a college bowl game, and they split the national championship. Florida State wins it, and then one year they split a national championship, like Michigan and Nebraska in 97. Just didn't make much sense. We're scrimming for playoffs 30 years ago. So finally, 30 years later, they sort of get it right. Flynn,
yeah.
Have fun. Catch some fishes up there at Pike Place up there in Seattle. Have some fun up there.
Thanks, Dave.
I kayaked in the San Juan Islands yesterday. Oh, how about that for an off day?
Damn.
Look at you.
You deserve it. It's been some tough baseball to watch, man. You and the crew, you guys deserve it. I wanted you guys to take a day off last week. Last Friday, you guys did, obviously, before the A series. It's been some bad baseball offensively for the Giants, man. You need some runs and some hard runs, Flip. I can hear it in your voice.
I've had enough of the crew. I went by myself. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to see anybody. I went up there all alone and just floated around. It was pretty cool.
Real quick, before I let you go, how'd it go dropping off your daughters?
Oh, yeah.
The airport.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the scene at the curb was no good. The United curb was a mess. But my wife got them there, and they're all set up, and they're on their freshman orientation, like camping trip as we speak. So, the move-in went well. It's hard to believe they're not at the house. As you can imagine, is a lot quieter these days.
Oh boy, a lot quieter.
That's
tough.
There you go.
Yeah,
I just brought my little guy to TK. So first time in big kid school after being in daycare / preschool, and it was an adjustment. But now he's got so many friends in the second week. I'm so proud of him.
Flip, he gives me strength. Clean it up, Spadoni.
Clean it up.
Exactly. I don't want to hear about tears at transitional kindergarten. Stop it. Yeah.
I like how he knew what TK was. See, he knows his thing. Flynn knows.
He's been around the block, man. It's not his first rodeo. Flynn, man, that's a good call this week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, all right, man. Dave Fleming here on the River Islands guest line, man.
I love that.
Montessori school, man. Your boy broke down a little bit. Your boy broke down, man. It's like my daughter, man. It's getting big.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.